This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will be a question session reviewing multiple choice questions related to material properties, which is one of the topics that we covered this past week on the podcast. So let's get right into it. The first question reads, which of the following statements defines creep as it relates to material properties? And the choices are 1, progressive deformation response to constant force over an extended period of time, 2, a solid material's ability to deform under tensile stress, 3, the ability of a material's mechanical properties to vary according to the direction of load, 4, the rupture of a material under repeated cyclic stresses at a point below the normal static breaking strength, and 5, the ability of a material to absorb energy and plastically deform without fracturing. So creep is the tendency of a solid material to move slowly or deform permanently under the influence of stresses. It occurs as a result of long-term exposure to high levels of stress that are below the yield strength of the material. So the correct answer to this question is 1. Creep is defined as progressive deformation response to constant force over an extended period of time. Creep is an undesirable property of orthopedic biomaterials because they release frictional forces necessary to maintain rigid internal fixation. In total hip arthroplasty polyethylene liners, creep is the plastic deformation of the acetabular liner that occurs due to loading without the production of wear debris or particles. Moving on to the next question, what mechanism is most likely responsible for the initiation of mechanical failure seen at the midstem modular junction of modular revision hip stems? And the choices are 1, fretting fatigue, 2, etching, 3, crevice corrosion, and 4, abrasive wear. So the junction fracture is initiated in a fretting fatigue mechanism and completed by a bending moment. Fretting fatigue occurs when contacting components experience cyclic loads while small oscillatory motion occurs between them. This increases tensile and shear stress, leading to small flaws that result in crack propagation. In the study by Lackstein et al., no evidence of corrosion was seen because there was no etching, pitting, corrosion products, or chloride formation. Etching is a finding seen in corrosion. Abrasive wear occurs when a rough surface glides against a softer surface. It is generally seen in polyethylene wear from bone or cement in third body wear. Risk factors for stem breakage include high body mass index and lack of proximal bone support at the modular stem junction area. So again, the correct answer to this question is 1. Fretting fatigue is the mechanism most likely responsible for the initiation of mechanical failure seen at the midstem modular junction of modular revision hip stems. Moving on to the next question, which of the following lists materials in order of increasing modulus of elasticity? And the choices are 1, cortical bone, titanium, cobalt chrome, stainless steel, and ceramic, 2, titanium, cortical bone, ceramic, cobalt chrome, and stainless steel, 3, cortical bone, titanium, stainless steel, cobalt chrome, and ceramic, 4, stainless steel, titanium, cortical bone, ceramic, and cobalt chrome, and 5, cortical bone, stainless steel, titanium, cobalt chrome, and ceramic. So cortical bone has the lowest modulus of elasticity of the materials listed, followed by titanium, stainless steel, cobalt chrome alloy, than ceramic. So the correct answer to this question is 3, cortical bone, titanium, stainless steel, cobalt chrome, and ceramic are listed in order of increasing modulus of elasticity. So Young's modulus of elasticity is the ratio of stress to strain and represents the stiffness of a material and its ability to resist deformation when placed under tension. Of the materials listed, titanium has the stiffness closest to cortical bone. Ceramic has the highest modulus of elasticity, making it the most stiff of the materials listed. Moving on to the next question, cortical bone demonstrates viscoelastic behavior as its mechanical properties are sensitive to strain rate and duration of applied load. Regarding longitudinal strain in cortical bone, which of the following statements regarding this characteristic is true? And the choices are 1, as strain rate increases, both elastic modulus and ultimate strength increase, 2, as strain rate increases, elastic modulus remains unchanged, but the ultimate strength increases. 3, as strain rate increases, elastic modulus increases, but ultimate strength decreases. 4, as strain rate increases, both elastic modulus and ultimate strength decrease. And 5, as strain rate increases, elastic modulus increases, but ultimate strength remains unchanged. So, as strain rate increases, both elastic modulus and ultimate strength increase, making 1 the correct answer to this question. For low strain rates typical of normal activity, that is with physiologic strain rates of less than 0.1 per second, bone is elastic and ductile, meaning there is an increasing ultimate strain with increasing strain rate. There is a ductile to brittle transition with increasing strain rate from normal to supernormal rates. For extremely high supernormal strain rates, that is greater than 0.1 per second in high impact trauma, bone is viscoelastic and brittle, which is a low ultimate strain with increasing strain rate. Bone also becomes stronger and stiffer, that is with a higher modulus and a steeper slope of the stress-strain plot as strain rate increases. This viscoelastic property helps in dampening muscle contracture. Natali and Maroy reviewed studies examining mechanical properties of bone. Mechanical properties are correlated with moisture, deformation rate, density, and region of bone. Mechanical adaptation of bone is affected by strain rate, which is the rate at which bone is deformed, strain mode, which is tension, compression, and shear, strain direction, which is the direction of strain relative to bone surface, strain frequency, which is cycles per second, stimulus duration, which is the period over which deformation cycles are applied, strain distribution, which is the pattern of strain magnitude across bone section, and strain energy, which is energy stored during deformation. Moving on to the next question, the area moment of inertia of a structure such as bone is influenced most by the, and the choices are 1, density of the bone, 2, bone's elastic modulus, 3, cross-sectional volume of the bone, 4, distance of the bone from its center of mass, and 5, cross-sectional shape of the bone. So the area moment of inertia is a function of the distance squared of the mass distribution from its center of mass. Density of a material and its elastic modulus do not affect the area moment of inertia. The cross-sectional volume and shape of the bone has some effect, but two objects with the same cross-sectional volume or shape can have very different area moments of inertia, such as a cylinder and a tube. So the correct answer to this question is 4. The area moment of inertia of a structure such as bone is influenced most by the distance of the bone from its center of mass. Moving on to the next question. What is the most serious complication that may occur with a ceramic-on-ceramic bearing in a total hip prosthesis? And the choices are 1, wear, 2, squeaking, 3, dislocation, 4, fracture, and 5, subsidence. So fortunately, due to improvements in strength and quality control, fracture of a modern ceramic hip bearing is very rare. However, when a ceramic bearing does fracture, numerous fragments may become embedded in the capsular tissues. During revision, the surgeon must make every reasonable effort to locate and remove these fragments. Among other complications, fragments that remain behind can become entrapped between the bearing surfaces of the new implant and initiate severe wear. In normal use, ceramic bearings have excellent wear resistance. Squeaking may be extremely annoying to the patient, but is not inherently dangerous and sometimes resolves spontaneously. Dislocation is a serious complication regardless of the type of bearing, but it sometimes may be treated without requiring a reoperation, and if revision is required, it typically is not as problematic as with a fractured ceramic bearing. Infection is to be avoided, but it is not a complication directly related to the use of a ceramic bearing. So the correct answer to this question is 4. Fracture is the most serious complication that may occur with a ceramic-on-ceramic bearing in a total hip prosthesis. Moving on to the next question. Other factors permitting, it is preferable to place a bone plate on the tension side of a fractured long bone because this location, and the choices are 1, interferes less with the blood supply, 2, protects the fracture from shear loading, 3, minimizes the compressive stress on the fracture, 4, minimizes torsional loading on the bone, and 5, minimizes the bending stresses in the plate. So if a plate spans the fracture on the tension side of the bone, then the fracture will tend to close when the bone is loaded, such that much of the axial and bending loads are transmitted through the bone. If the plate is placed on the compression side, the fracture will tend to open during loading, and the plate will be required to carry nearly all of the axial and bending loads, increasing the potential for fracturing the plate or pulling out the screws. So the correct answer to this question is 5. It is preferable to place a bone plate on the tension side of a fractured bone because this location minimizes the bending stresses in the plate. Moving on to the next question. A surgeon desires to use an implant that will be available to absorb as much energy as possible before it fails. The implant should be made of a material that has which of the following properties? And the choices are 1, a high modulus of elasticity, 2, a low modulus of elasticity, 3, a high intrinsic toughness, 4, a high yield stress, and 5, brittleness. So high intrinsic toughness is defined as the amount of energy per volume a material can absorb without breaking. A high modulus of elasticity and a low modulus of elasticity are incorrect because the modulus of elasticity refers to the stiffness of the material. A brittle material absorbs little energy before breaking. High yield stress is incorrect because it is only one of several factors that lead to a high toughness. While the yield stress is the point at which plastic deformation begins, if coupled with a brittle material, the energy absorbed would be low relative to a ductile material. So the correct answer to this question is 3. When a surgeon desires to use an implant that will be able to absorb as much energy as possible before it fails, the implant should be made of a material that has a high intrinsic toughness. Moving on to the next question. Which of the following definitions best describes the phenomenon of load relaxation? And the choices are 1, constant loading causing material to continue to deform over time. 2, stress at failure or the ultimate stress divided by the strain at failure or the ultimate strain. 3, decrease peak loads over time with the same amount of elongation. 4, stress is proportional to strain up to a limit. And 5, strain divided by the time that the load is applied. So load relaxation is characterized by decreased peak loads over time with the same amount of elongation, making 3 the correct answer to this question. Screen performed a study on tenocytes and tendon fascicles. It was found that viscoelasticity and relaxation behavior within isolated tendon fascicles is dominated by fiber sliding mechanisms, and proteoglycans have a role in the mechanisms of strain transfer within the tendon. To quickly go over the incorrect answers, answer 1, constant loading causing material to continue to deform over time is the definition of creep. Answer 2, stress at failure or the ultimate stress divided by the strain at failure or the ultimate strain is the definition of Young's modulus. It is important to note that this only applies during the linear portion of the stress/strain curve during elastic behavior. Answer 4, stress is proportional to strain up to a limit is the definition of Hooke's law, which states that stress is proportional to strain up to a limit. And answer 5, strain divided by the time that the load is applied is the definition of strain rate. Moving on to the next question, what property of titanium alloys accounts for their high corrosion resistance in vivo? And the choices are 1, self-passivation, 2, ductility, 3, hardness, 4, modulus of elasticity, and 5, conductivity. So, in both room temperature, air, and physiologic fluids, titanium alloys self-passivate or spontaneously form a layer of titanium oxide very rapidly. This makes titanium alloys resistant to surface breakdown. So the correct answer to this question is 1. Self-passivation is the property of titanium alloys that account for their high corrosion resistance in vivo. Moving on to the next question. Which of the following statements is true regarding polymethyl methacrylate? And the choices are 1. Barium sulfate initiates the polymerization of monomethacrylate. 2. It is a ductile material. 3. The Young's modulus is between cortical and cancellous bone. 4. It resists shear better than compressive forces. And 5. The polymerization of PMMA is endothermic. So Young's modulus measures the ability of a material to resist deformation. PMMA has a Young's modulus between cortical and cancellous bone, making 3 the correct answer to this question. Polymethyl methacrylate or bone cement is frequently used in joint replacement surgery, tumor surgery, and spine surgery. Bone cements are provided as 2 component materials, a powder and a liquid. The powder usually contains a polymer, benzoyl peroxide, which is the initiator, and barium sulfate, which is the radioopacifier. The liquid usually contains a monomer, DMPT, which is the accelerator, and hydroquinone, which is the stabilizer. The 2 components are mixed and a free radical polymerization occurs when the initiator is mixed with the accelerator. Webb and Spencer review the current uses and limitations of polymethyl methacrylate in orthopedic surgery. Amongst other things, they describe PMMA as a brittle, notch-sensitive material with a modulus of elasticity 10 times lower than cortical bone and 100 times lower than metal stems used as femoral components. Moving on to the next question, which of the following most accurately describes stainless steel? And the choices are 1, composed of iron carbon alloy, modulus of elasticity less stiff than bone, 2, composed of cobalt chrome molybdenum alloy with a modulus of elasticity more stiff than bone, 3, composed of iron carbon alloy with a modulus of elasticity more stiff than titanium, 4, composed of cobalt chrome molybdenum alloy with a modulus of elasticity less stiff than titanium, and 5, composed of iron carbon alloy with a modulus of elasticity that is more stiff than bone, cobalt chrome, and aluminum oxide, also known as ceramic. So stainless steel is primarily an iron carbon alloy with other elements including molybdenum, chromium, and manganese. Stainless steel is stiffer than bone and titanium, but less stiff than ceramics and cobalt chrome. Titanium most closely emulates the modulus of elasticity of bone. But the correct answer to this question is 3. Stainless steel is composed of iron carbon alloy with a modulus of elasticity more stiff than titanium. Moving on to the next question, what description best describes galvanic corrosion? And the choices are 1. Corrosion resulting from an electrochemical potential created between two metals in conductive medium. 2. Corrosion resulting from contact sites between materials under load. 3. Corrosion resulting from oxygen tension differences. 4. Corrosion from localized pits on metal surfaces. And 5. Corrosion from allergic reaction. So there are many modes of corrosion in orthopedic implants, and galvanic corrosion is a type of corrosion which results from an electrochemical potential created between two metals in a conductive medium, making 1 the correct answer to this question. Galvanic corrosion is often seen at the interface of metals, like plates and screws, when different metals are used. The conductive medium is usually serum or interstitial fluid. Moving on to the next question, an 18-year-old female soccer player sustains a non-contact deceleration injury while making a sharp pivot to strike the ball. She hears a loud pop in her knee, is unable to bear weight initially following the injury, and develops immediate knee effusion. The structure most likely injured in this athlete exhibits all of the following biomechanical properties except, and the choices are 1, viscoelasticity, 2, creep, 3, isotropism, 4, stress relaxation, and 5, nonlinear elasticity. So the clinical presentation is consistent for an ACL tear. The ACL has the biomechanical properties of viscoelasticity, creep, stress relaxation, and nonlinear elasticity. It does not demonstrate isotropism. Isotropic materials, such as metals, exhibit the same mechanical properties in all directions. All ligaments and tendons are anisotropic and exhibit different mechanical properties depending on the direction of the applied load. Ligaments are viscoelastic, indicating that they exhibit a time-dependent mechanical behavior. Thus, the relationship between stress and strain is not constant, but depends on the time of the displacement or load. One characteristic of viscoelasticity is creep, whereby there is an increasing deformation under constant load. Viscoelastic materials also exhibit stress relaxation, whereby stress will be reduced or will relax under a constant deformation. Ligaments also demonstrate nonlinear elasticity. So again, the correct answer to this question is 3. Isotropism is not a biomechanical property that is typical of a ligament. Moving on to the next question. Compared to cold forged cobalt chrome, titanium alloys have which property? And the choices are 1. Increased fatigue strength. 2. Increased yield strength. 3. Increased endurance limit. 4. Decreased ductility. And 5. Decreased tensile strength. So titanium implants have decreased tensile or ultimate strength when compared to cobalt chrome. Ultimate strength or tensile strength is the maximum stress a material can withstand before undergoing breakage or failure. The ranking of ultimate strength from highest to lowest is 1, cobalt chrome, 2, titanium, 3, stainless steel, and 4, cortical bone. Again, Young's modulus of elasticity is defined as the measure of stiffness of a material in the elastic zone. A higher Young's modulus indicates a stiffer material. While titanium is highly biocompatible with a low modulus of elasticity, it has poor wear characteristics, making it non-suitable for femoral heads in total hip arthroplasty. Long et al. Present a review on titanium implants with a focus on biomechanical properties. Their study supports previous data, which showed high rates of ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene wear due to accelerated breakdown when in contact with a titanium surface. Moving on to the next question. Low toughness is a disadvantage of which of the following bearing surfaces used in total hip arthroplasty? And the choices are 1, cobalt chromium, 2, titanium, 3, ceramic, 4, polyethylene, and 5, stainless steel. So low toughness is a disadvantage of ceramic bearings in total hip arthroplasty, making 3 the correct answer to this question. Again, ceramic is a non-metal that demonstrates excellent wear characteristics when used with polyethylene in total hip arthroplasty. Although it has a high Young's modulus, it has a low fracture toughness. Subsequently, ceramic is poorly resistant to crack formation. In contrast, ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene has a high fracture toughness because of the presence of very long hydrocarbon chains. Santavirta et al. Review alternative bearing materials to improve wear in total hip arthroplasty. Alumina ceramics are noted to be biostable and bioinert. The best wear properties are noted with ceramic-on-ceramic bearings. For current ceramic constructs, fracture risk is less than 1 per 1,000. Lang et al. Reviewed the use of ceramics in total hip replacement. The authors note that ceramic has high compressive strength and high wettability. Low fracture toughness and linear elastic behavior increase the risk of breakage of ceramic components under stress. Processing improvements, enhanced head-neck interfaces, and linear modifications have led to a decrease in the rate of ceramic fracture. Moving on to the next question. When analyzing complex geometric form and material property distributions, the structure of interest may be divided up into numerous connected subregions or elements within which approximate functions are used to represent the unknown quantity. What is the name for this technique? And the choices are 1, breakdown synthesis, 2, finite element method, 3, algebraic conclusion, 4, differential equations, and 5, isogeometric analysis. So to solve a problem with complex geometric form and material property distributions, the finite element approach is used to break the problem up into smaller, finite elements with simple geometric form, making 2 the correct answer to this question. Usually triangular or quadrilateral elements are used. A computer program is written to balance the forces and moments acting on each element and match these forces and moments with those of its neighboring elements. For large structures with a large number of elements, the computer must solve thousands of algebraic equations to make sure all the forces are balanced in the interior of the body and at the surface where the forces are applied. In orthopedics, stress analysis of the cement fixation of implants to bone is frequently carried out using finite element analysis. Moving on to the next question, ligaments are viscoelastic, meaning that their tensile strength is affected by, and the choices are 1, torsion and tension only, 2, orientation of applied strain, 3, rate of applied load, 4, compression only, and 5, tension only. So ligaments are viscoelastic material, which means their stress-strain curve patterns are time over rate dependent as a result of the internal friction. The initial portion of the stress-strain curve, called the toe region, exhibits a high deformation slash low force characteristic due to the uncrimping of collagen fibers and the elasticity of elastin. Next is the linear region where slippage within and between collagen fibrils occurs. In this stage, ligaments get stiffer, that is, increased tensile strength, at higher strain rates. So the correct answer to this question is 3. The tensile strength of ligaments are affected by the rate of applied load. Moving on to the next question. Bone is biomechanically weakest to resistance of which of the following forces? 1, tension, 2, compression, 3, inertia, 4, centripetal, and 5, shear. So bone is weakest in shear and strongest in compression, making 5 the correct answer to this question. When a force creates a tensile stress in a particular region of a loaded bone, failure will occur in that region first. A transverse fracture occurs in a long bone that is subjected to pure bending. The convex portion of the bone is under tension and fails first. The fracture then propagates transversely. A butterfly fragment results from a combination of bending, that is a transverse force, and compression, that is an oblique slash shear force, as the ends of the failing bone are driven together. The production of a butterfly fragment likely depends on the rate and magnitude of the applied load. Moving on to the next question. Which of the following best describes plastic deformation? And the choices are 1, change in length of a material under loading that returns to its original length once the load is removed, 2, progressive deformation of a material in response to a constant force over an extended period. 3, the ability of a material to resist deformation. 4, change in length of a material under loading that does not return to the original length once the load is removed. And 5, the relative measure of the deformation of an object due to a load. So plastic deformation is defined as an irreversible change in length after removing the load during the plastic range on a stress strain curve. So the correct answer to this question is 4, change in length of a material under loading that does not return to the original length once the load is removed best describes plastic deformation. So objects in the elastic zone of the stress strain curve will return to their normal shape when the load is removed. This is termed elastic deformation. Objects in the plastic zone will not return to their normal shape when the load is removed, and this is termed plastic deformation. The yield point marks the transition between the elastic and plastic zones. Moving on to the next question. When discussing metal implants and devices, which of the following best describes fatigue? And the choices are 1, load at which material fractures, 2, progressive deformation due to a constant force over an extended period, 3, change in the stress-strain relationship depending on the rate of loading, 4, failure at a sub-maximal tensile strength level after numerous loading cycles, and 5, change in mechanical properties as a result of the direction of the load. So fatigue is a characteristic of metal defined as failure below the ultimate tensile strength after numerous loading cycles, making 4 the correct answer to this question. Hu et al. Investigated the effects of design and microfracture of tibial screws on nail biomechanics. They tested the mechanical strength of a both ends threaded screw and an unthreaded bolt and compared them to 5 commercially available screws in 3-point bending. As the main cause of failure was mechanical overloading, they concluded that screw thread removal could increase the fatigue life of interlocking devices. Moving on to the next question. The ability of compressed cortical bone to resist greater applied force in the longitudinal plane than in the transverse plane is an illustration of which material property? And the choices are 1, yield strength, 2, elastic modulus, 3, viscoelasticity, and 4, anisotropy. So material properties characterize mechanical functional limits of a material independent of the size or shape of that material. Anisotropic materials are those for which properties behave differently dependent on the direction of the applied force. Yield strength is the load at which permanent plastic deformation begins to occur. Elastic modulus is the mathematical description of the tendency of a material to be deformed elastically in response to an applied force. The elastic modulus of a material is defined as the slope of its stress-strain curve in the elastic deformation region. Viscoelastic materials, such as bone, exhibit time-rate-dependent stress-strain behavior as a function of internal friction. The modulus of viscoelastic materials increases as the strain rate increases. But the correct answer to this question is 4, the ability of compressed cortical bone to resist greater applied force in the longitudinal plane than in the transverse plane is an illustration of anisotropy. And the final question for this topic, a hip compression screw is placed in a test jig and a bending load is applied to the tip of the screw. After the load is released, the screw returns completely to its original shape. What is this type of deformation called? And the choices are 1, plastic, 2, elastic, 3, fatigue, 4, creep, and 5, torsion. So this question should be a home run if you've been paying attention to several of the previous questions that we've done. So when an implant is loaded below the yield point, by definition, it undergoes elastic deformation, meaning that all of the deformation recovers when the load is removed, making 2, elastic deformation, the correct type of deformation to describe a hip compression screw that returns completely to its original shape after a bending load is applied to the tip of the screw. So if an implant is loaded above the yield point, then plastic or permanent deformation occurs. Fatigue is the gradual accumulation and progression of cracks in the material, which after many cycles of loading can lead to gross failure. Creep is the gradual accumulation of permanent or plastic deformation over time, which may occur with polymeric materials but is not typical of metals or ceramics. Torsion refers to a torque being applied about the long axis of a bone or an implant. In general, the materials and dimensions of an implant are chosen to avoid plastic deformation or fatigue failure during typical clinical use. That's all for this question review session about material properties. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.